SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network, our number two, and we're getting excited here. Plenty of Major League Baseball about to get underway. Of course, the important elimination game, Game 5 in the NBA playoffs between the Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Just a few minutes away from the opening tip there, 15.5. is what the Boston Celtics, if you'd like to back them, would have to win by. Total, starting to come down here a little bit, 205 and a half now, as the Cavs are trying to save their season, but they're going to have to do it without Donovan Mitchell. We also have another game coming up after that. That'll be out west with Oklahoma City taking on the Dallas Mavericks in an all-important Game 5 with a series tied at 2-2. Can Dallas get back to their home court with an opportunity to close out? Or can Oklahoma City win this game and have an opportunity to not have to worry about coming home to close it out in a Game 7? So much still to be decided here in the NBA, and it begins in just a few in Boston and at the Garden there as the Cavs and the Celtics are going to tip off. We also have a couple of WNBA games coming up here tonight as the opening night of the 2024 WNBA season has come and gone. And interesting stuff there last night as Caitlin Clark made her debut, the number one overall pick, the one name that is certainly going to be able to move the needle for the WNBA. Well, she was in action last night. We also saw the back-to-back champs, the Las Vegas Aces, get their rings last night. Unbelievable. The New York Liberty pulled off a big fourth-quarter comeback last night, and the Minnesota Lynx ended up upending the Seattle Storm, the new-look Seattle Storm. In fact, so we had four games there last night. We've got two here tonight. But how did Caitlin Clark do in her welcome to the WNBA first game? Well, she did a pretty good job there. 20 points, 3 assists, 2 steals. But one thing you won't see on there is the fact that she turned it over 10 times Tuesday, which is the most in a debut all time in the WNBA. So that, in fact, I believe set the Fever franchise record, the most turnovers ever in a game. But let's be realistic here. This is not Iowa. She's not playing South Carolina. This is a totally different game, and there will be an adjustment period for Caitlin Clark. But make no mistake about it, she missed her first 3 shots. She ended up turning the ball over. She picked up 2 quick fouls. And yet those numbers tell us that once she settled down and she let it go, she's going to be just fine. And the only adjustment she's going to have that I see is she's going to have to deal with the physicality right now in the WNBA. Like, listen, NBA players, same thing. You know, you're not playing for Murray State anymore. This is a totally different ball game in the NBA, and it's the same thing with Caitlin Clark. And she had to go through it last night. I would imagine she's going to have to go through it for the first couple of weeks in the league, but I do think the future is bright for Caitlin Clark and the WNBA, because the numbers will come in, guys. We're talking about the most watched female basketball player that we have seen in ever, really. The numbers were out of control with her final games in the tournament at Iowa there. That is, or at least they hope, will transcend into the WNBA. It certainly is going to change the betting markets for the WNBA. This is not a market that was that carried a huge handle at sports books. It was a very niche sport. I know I have a couple of very good friends that it's the only sport they ever bet And it's simple because they feel they get the biggest edge in the numbers in that sport. And if you throw in now a whole lot more public money betting a sport that they don't often watch or are new to, well, you know, it won't take as much money to actually move the market as it would for, let's say, I don't know, the NFL or the NBA. So it's going to be an adjustment period for the books. I think it's going to be an adjustment for bettors. And certainly it's going to be an adjustment here for Caitlin Clark. Either way, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to keep an eye on the WNBA this season here. And, you know, Haley's Comet, every now and then an athlete comes by that kind of changes a sport forever and usually for the better. We've seen it with Tiger Woods in golf. We've seen it with Kobe and Michael in the NBA. You can go down the list here. There are some people that just elevate the game, and Caitlin Clark certainly feels like she is in that category. We also have an update in Major League Baseball right now where the Mets and the Phillies, wow, that didn't take long. Couple of runs on the board already for both teams. It's 1-1 with Ranger Suarez on the mound for the Phils here. The Mets got a couple of hits and a run right here in the top of the first inning against Suarez. Looks like the Phillies answered in the bottom half. Mets back up to the plate right now. And shout out to Brendan Fodder, who pitched a 7-inning gem against the Reds earlier today. Now, this was a guy that was Mr. October, if you remember, in the postseason last year. Didn't have a great regular season, but he became a household name overnight last season with that postseason run. Had a couple of shaky starts to start the season, and everyone thought he might be a flash in the pan. But I'm telling you, yes, his numbers are a little off because of those terrible outings he had early in the season. But his last four starts have all been quality. 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts for this kid. Do not sleep on Arizona or Brandon Fott when he has an opportunity to go to the mound. The market is undervaluing him. He will win a whole lot of games for you this year. Cubs and Braves getting ready to get underway, as is the Tampa Bay Rays and the Boston Red Sox. Another great pitching battle set up here with Taj Bradley having the opportunity for the first time to go on the road and start a game at Fenway Park. You may recall, had the injury last year, came last week against the Yankees, his first opportunity at home there to pitch against the Yanks. He did very well there. Unfortunately, Tampa couldn't hit and he didn't get the win, but he certainly showed that he's got the velocity, he's got the movement, and he is going to be a tough pitcher to face. And so is Tanner Houck, who has not had a whole lot of run support when he has pitched. But he is throwing the ball really, really well. One of the big surprises, I thought, this year of the Boston Red Sox. They are just getting underway, 0-0 in that one at Fenway. The Yankees and Twins heading your way here with Stroman and Lopez. That is coming up in just about 20 minutes here. The Yankees have owned the Twins. The Yankees will hopefully continue to own the Twins, but I'm not buying Stroman. I just can't do it. So I do think the Twins are the right side here tonight. In fact, I think they're the right side by laying the 1.5 even at plus money to beat the New York Yankees. It pains me. It absolutely pains me. But that's the reality of what we're dealing with Marcus Stroman here. Guardians, Rangers, and Dodgers, Giants still to come here tonight, and we'll see if Framber Valdez has anything sticky in his glove, because that seems to be a common theme with the Houston Astros. Much more coming your way as the Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. We are off and running, by the way, with the Boston Celtics and the Cavs, a 14-10 Boston lead right now early in the first quarter. We'll keep you posted on what happens there as we welcome in our good friend Joe Madden. We got some NHL hockey tonight, some playoff hockey, and man, there's something ain't right here in Avalanche land with this team here. I mean, unbeatable at home all season long, actually going back a couple of years. This team has been phenomenal at home, and they have looked anything but unbeatable here against the Dallas Stars. How much of this series so far has been the Stars are just that much better, or the Avalanche, there's something wrong, it doesn't look right? Oh, wait, okay, we'll get there. Yep, no problem, Joe. We'll get the audio fixed. But I think you've got to consider that maybe Dallas is that good. But I think the Nikushkin suspension that came down, some of the quotes coming out of the locker room have shown that maybe the Avs are a little bit split on losing one of their best players. Certainly one of the best playoff performers as we welcome Joe Madden back in. I'm reading quotes, Joe, from the Avalanche, and it seems like the Nikushkin suspension, his unavailability here in this has rubbed some guys the wrong way. There's questions about the coaching. It just feels like nothing good is happening with the Avalanche, and it's kind of hard to back him here, no?
It is a little hard to back them without Nikushkin out there on the ice, but I do think this team with their backs up against a wall, Joe, I just can't see them losing this one again. We know the Dallas Stars, another interesting thing about them is on their home ice, they play a more open game compared to on the road, and these teams have been struggling to close things out on home ice. I do think Colorado can push it to at least one more game, but then I think in the next one, the Dallas Stars do finish it out because this team has been playing phenomenally strong. Now, I caution everyone on taking Wyatt Johnson for the anytime goal today. I'm hearing all over that it's the number one prop bet on all of these books because everyone's caught on that Wyatt Johnson is playing so strong. I do think the defense of the Stars tries to lock down again Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon, but I do think these players find a way out there on the ice. So I'm going to look at Colorado with their backs up against the wall to find a way to extend their playoff lives, taking them with that plus money. But if they're going to do so, they haven't been able to stop the playmakers there of the Dallas Stars. Now, question marks on if Roope Hintz will hit the ice tonight. I'm not sure if he will, but this team is so deep. They're able to get the goals on the Colorado Avalanche. So I'm going to take the over 6.5, Joe. I think this is a 4-3 style game, one that could finish in overtime as well. But I am going to take the Avs to get the win.
I do think the over is in play here, especially if you like Colorado, because this will not be a 3-1 game by any stretch. Give him credit. The guy has been phenomenal here through 11 games in the postseason. He's had, you know, a couple of those games where you're like, what in the hell? Like, especially at home. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, so it's not that he's unbeatable, but when you have MacKinnon, Rantanen, Makar, they got to score more than 2 goals, which is all they've mustered here in the last couple of games.
Yeah, and they have to start converting on the power play, and that's what this has come down to. When we look at the 5-on-5 play for these teams, I actually still do think Colorado is playing a more solid game, but it's special teams. We're seeing the Dallas Stars being able to convert, and the Colorado Avalanche are. The game plan around that is they take Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon out of the situation, and they're begging the other players of Colorado to try to get those goals when it has to be Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon. So those playmakers need to find a way to get open on that ice, Joe. Special team needs to convert for the Avs, and they have every opportunity. But if they can't, Dallas is going to finish it off tonight and advance on to the next.
So I had a couple of friends of mine that had Edmonton in regulation last night and literally tore up the tickets before the end of the game, which was probably a mistake in a lot of aspects there, given the fact that they scored a goal at, 30 seconds left, end up winning. How shocked are you with how unbelievably competitive this series is? Are you thinking 7 games in this regardless? Because I just don't think Vancouver's not going away anytime soon, are they?
They're not going away. And with last night's win by the Edmonton Oilers tying this series 2-2, I really do think it goes all the way to game 7. And I think this is probably an overtime win for one of these teams in game 7. We've got third string goalies on both sides of the puck. And both goaltenders was my biggest shock last night that total was so low with Edmonton winning it 3-2, those goals majority coming in that third period. Like you said, those goals came back to back in that third period as well, with Edmonton being able to clinch the win. So I'm not surprised this is competitive. A lot of people have underestimated the Vancouver Canucks. They finished first in the Pacific, a point ahead of the Edmonton Oilers. And this team has the offensive firepower, just like Edmonton. Their defense is locking down. And I do think the series is going to come down to who doesn't make the mistakes out there. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl playing absolutely amazing for the Edmonton Oilers. And the defense locked down last night. They've been really limiting the Vancouver Canucks' ability to get those shots on goal. So we'll see what happens in the next game, Joe. It's going to be epic in Vancouver.
All right, so final question here, Joe. Better chance to get to a 7th game, Boston, Florida, or Rangers, Carolina?
Ooh, Rangers, Carolina. I think Florida finishes it off in the next one, Joe. Put Boston out of their misery, for Pete's sakes.
Yes, Angie. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. I was invested in them doing that last night. Unfortunately, that didn't work out because they thought they could take off the first period and all would be well. So you're going to have a couple of very interesting games coming up for sure with the Rangers and Carolina, as well as Boston and the Florida Panthers. And the great news is Joe Mann will be here all week long getting you caught up with all of it, pointing you in the right direction. Go Avs, Joe. We appreciate it. Good luck with those tickets. We'll be back. Game time decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. While we've got plenty going on playoff-wise in the NBA and the NHL, we've got a whole lot to look forward to this weekend, including the second leg of the Triple Crown. And it's the Preakness at Pimlico in Baltimore. And here to help us navigate this very big race is Craig Mikowski from the Daily Racing Form. And Craig, I know you must have been just as shocked as the rest of the racing world this morning when we woke up and the alert came in and said, shocker, the favorite in the race is no longer the favorite because Muth is scratched, the number 4 horse. What kind of chain of events did that trigger for you here today?
It just caused us to have to go back and reevaluate the race. I do a couple podcasts for DRF. We had already recorded one, so we had to do another one talking about the scratch. And, you know, we got it worked out. He was actually the horse I had picked on top. And as you'll find out, I'm not one to normally pick favorites, but I thought he was a very good-looking favorite. But it does kind of open the race up a bit more.
Well, it wasn't the only Baffert horse in the race. We'll get to it. But I know a lot of folks are going to be hoping and praying because Mystic Dan now, your Kentucky Derby winner, looks like the odds-on favorite by the time we get to post here. What are the chances, you think, that Mystic Dan will be going for a Triple Crown win at the Belmont?
I would probably say, if I had to put a number on it, 35%. I don't think he's an overwhelming choice in this field. He ran a tough race last time. He's coming back on just 2 weeks. The trainer was a little bit hesitant about that. And he's a guy that loves to run his horses. So when he's hesitant, I'm a little bit hesitant, particularly when it comes to betting on him. It's a pretty strong field, even without Muth. I think there's 8 horses left. only two of them, the inside two, would be a real shocker. All the others, I think you could actually make a case for in here.
Well, yeah, something tells me he's not going to get the rail like he did at the Derby. I just don't think that's going to happen there. No, don't think that's going to happen there at all. All right, so you said no chalk. So let's talk some of the other horses here off the bat. And I thought that Uncle Heavy, you mentioned number two horse. All of a sudden, you've got Irad Ortiz Jr. on top here, which is interesting at 20-1. Feels like he should be at on some of my my tries and superfectas, no?
Maybe at the bottom half. He's just not quite as good as these other horses. I'd kind of say, you know, if you put a Formula One driver in a Prius, he's still not going to win. This is probably a little short for Uncle Heavy. He's a horse who likes to come from behind. With the scratch of Muth, there's not a whole lot of pace in here. So maybe he could clunk up and pass some of the horses that get tired, but he wouldn't be for me.
So what are we thinking about the Catching Freedom? Of course, Brad Cox, Flavian Pratt coming off of the Belmont run there, finishing fourth, I believe. What do we think about Catching Freedom's opportunity in this one?
Yeah, he's obviously one of the stronger contenders in here. He was actually my pick in the Derby. He ran fine, wasn't able to get the job done. I mean, he ran fourth. He was probably fourth best. He's another horse that likes to come from off the pace. He's by a trainer. Brad Cox is a trainer. Guy that doesn't normally like to turn his horses around this quick. So he's going to probably be the second choice in this field. I'm probably going to avoid him. Won't be surprised if he runs well, but you're not going to make much money betting him.
Well, I was on number seven, Just Deal, in the Derby, and to my surprise, watched Asmussen run him right into the ground early and often. So now we got a jockey change, though, with Joel Rosario here for Dwayne Lucas. What do you think of Just Deal's opportunity in this one? Much smaller field now with eight horses.
He's actually my selection in here. I think he's going to run much better than we saw in the Derby. I mean, he would actually have to. And there's a few things we like. I do the Timeform US past performances, what we're looking at. He was cooked in that fast pace. He started really, it was a terrible start that day. Two back, he beat Mystic Dan. And with a better trip, I don't see why he couldn't do it again.
I don't see there's no reason not to look at him at a great price with Rosario on him. Imagination, yes or no? If he gets out in front, is he going to be caught?
I think he will be, but it's certainly possible. He could have things his own way. I think the two Wayne Lucas horses in behind, Sees the Gray and Just Steel. Hopefully Sees the Gray will be the one that goes after him and makes him work early.
Oh, Craig Lukowski, Daily Racing Form. You're speaking my language now. Give me the bombs. Appreciate it. Enjoy the race, Craig. Game Time Decisions returns here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. We got an interesting one happening in the NBA right now as how many people saw 28-28 at the end of the first quarter as the Cavs are going toe-to-toe with the Celtics here early in the game, but those that might have taken the 16 are feeling pretty good right now, but plenty of basketball to play and plenty more going on across the board. We mentioned NHL, NBA playoffs. We just talked about the Preakness. The second leg of the Triple Crown is this weekend. And let us not forget, it's also major time on the PGA Tour as the PGA Championship will be front and center at Valhalla. And nobody we want to talk to more than Brady Cannon about what's going on with this tournament here. Gotta love it, Brady. This is the first time in I can't remember how long we're at a major, and we're not necessarily talking about Scottie Scheffler or Tiger Woods, are we, here this week? It's feels like it's been forever, but there are no shortage of storylines heading into this, is there?
Oh, you're right. I mean, there's the Scheffler storyline, obviously, taking the 3 weeks off, the birth of his first child, Rory McIlroy coming off of the win, the news about the divorce, Brooks Koepka all of a sudden is red hot. He's off of a win. John Rahm's kind of the forgotten man here, despite, you know, top 10 finishes in all seven live events this season. And yeah, you can kind of just go on. I mean, Xander Schauffele's a storyline. It's now, you know, two times in the same calendar year, he's blown a 54-hole lead at big boy events, the Players' Championship and last week at the Wells Fargo. But I'll contend, you know, I think a lot of the sentiment out there is people have given up on Xander Schauffele. But let's remind ourselves, he didn't really lose those events. He shot two under par on Sunday at the Players and was better than most of the field at even par on Sunday at Wells Fargo. He didn't lose those events. He was beaten. Scottie Scheffler chased him down with a Sunday 64, and Rory shot a 65 that should have been a 63. So those were magical performances by those two guys, and obviously they deserve to win. But let's not confuse that with Xander throwing up all over himself.
No, absolutely. And you know, I'll say it again. The worst part about Xander is having to lead for three rounds heading into Sunday at the top of the leaderboard. Just please be a stroke or two behind this weekend, and I'll feel so much better about a ticket on Xander Schauffele here. But here's what I'm seeing in this major. Out of sight, out of mind, Brady. And what I mean is, you mentioned LIV guys, the reigning champ here, LIV guy. We've talked, you know, Rahm, lot of these guys that we have to consider out of sight, out of mind. We don't see them anymore. Is that a good thing or bad thing for us coming up this week?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think, first of all, the LIV circuit has a lot of bombers, and the PGA Championship has really become a bombers major. You know, you've got Dustin Johnson and John Rahm and Brooks Koepka and Joaquin Niemann and Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, those are five of the longest drivers of the golf ball in the world. And so they make sense here. You know, I don't know if it's a good thing that the whole world seems to be on Brooks Koepka, me included. I know that recreational players, you know, are making up, you know, some of the highest ticket count, handle, and liability at some of the books around the country. And I also know that every sharp bettor I've talked to is also on Koepka. So I think it's, you know, in with both sides of the fence here. The recreational and the sharp play are in on Brooks. I know, you know, a lot of sharp people that like Joaquin Niemann. And, you know, there's another thing about these three guys, Koepka, DeChambeau, and Niemann. Not only are they exceptionally long off the tee, but they're also really good putters. And that's a formula that we've seen as successful here at Valhalla in the past. At 2014, when the last time they had a PGA Championship here and Rory won, if you go down about 10, 15 players deep on that leaderboard, not every single one, but, you know, 85, 90% of them were in the top 25 for driving distance and in the top 15 for putting that week. So it's not a bad combination any week on tour, but apparently it works pretty well here at Valhalla. Drive it long, find these wide fairways, stay out of the thick rough when you can. That's why I also like some of the shorter hitters here. Not totally short, but I landed on Morikawa and Sepp Straka and Willie Zalatoris. They're not dreadfully short. They still hit it, for God's sake, about 295, Joe. But by tour standards, that's kind of short. But they counter that with being extremely accurate. Zalatoris is 28th on tour in total driving. Morikawa and Straka are second and third, respectively, in driving accuracy. And all these guys on my list, whether they be LIV or PGA Tour, they have tremendous history in major championships. And Straka is kind of new to that conversation, maybe Bryson a little bit too, but these guys are really starting to show up in the biggest stages.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people realize this course is almost 7,700 yards. It's unbelievable. And the narrow fairways on where you've got to drive the ball. What, in your opinion, wins this thing? The one who hits the most fairways? Is it second shots? I don't think there'll be a lot of driver sand wedges in this one here. What are you thinking?
Well, you've got rain as well. There was a lot of rain in the area pre-tour. good, and we might get a couple, you know, spots of rain here during the tournament as well. So that's going to soften up this golf course quite a bit. And this zoysia grass, the turf species in the fairway, is meant to, you know, be able to get rid of that water and dry out more quickly. And so the golf course is the people at Valhalla are really hoping that it doesn't get too soft and they are able to maintain something relatively firm and fast. But these fairways are actually pretty wide. Last year at Oak Hill, they were very narrow, and that just really made things difficult for the shorter hitters. But here, the fairways are wide. So the big hitters, whether they miss the fairway or not, they're going to be out there 350 yards. The shorter hitters, they might only be out there 295 or so, but they're going to be in the middle of the fairway. The problem going to be guys that don't hit it too far and don't hit it accurately, because then you're way back and you're trying to chop out of that rough, wet, you know, rain influenced rough that even becomes, you know, that much more demanding. So, you know, total driving, like we have seen last week at the Wells Fargo, Bay Hill, Torrey Pines, total driving will be big. And that is a combination of length and accuracy. If you look at some of the guys I'm on, Xander Schauffele is sixth on tour in total driving. Zalatoris 28th, Morikawa 49th, and Sepp Straka 51st. We don't have those type of statistics for the LIV circuit, but I can tell you that DeChambeau's number one in distance, Niemann is number two, and Kepka's probably in the top 10, if not higher than that. So we know these guys can bomb it. Kepka's won the PGA three times. Niemann has done very well on Nicklaus courses. He's been red hot this year on LIV. In seven events, he has four top 10 finishes and two wins. He can putt very well, as I mentioned earlier. And then DeChambeau, you know, he's starting to really show up in majors, a U.S. Open winner already, two fourth place finishes in a PGA, a top 10 in the British, and just comes off of his best ever finish at the Masters in sixth place. Here's another little something interesting for you, Joe. Since the PGA was moved to May in 2019, the average finishing position of the eventual PGA winner at the Masters was eighth. Well, a couple of guys on my card were in that top eight at Augusta, Morikawa, Schauffele, DeChambeau. So, you know, and I think it makes sense. It means if you played well at Augusta, you're probably still in pretty good form a month later.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great because the storylines you talked about, the competition, the world's best truly together here at Valhalla, which is really all we want as golf fans and bettors, right? Let's see what the world's best have to do against one another. And I think that's exactly what we're going to get here this weekend here, Brady. I think it's going to be phenomenal. And if Scottie Scheffler is once again winning this, you and I, we're going to have a drink.
I'll be texting you with an in-game play.
Exactly. Good luck, Brady. Game time decisions continue.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. We are off and running here in the NBA playoffs tonight. We have a very interesting game taking place at the Garden right now in Boston. The Cavs are leading the Celtics 39-36 in game right now. You can get the Celtics at -9.5. We talked about it earlier. We were hoping for a run like this from the Cavs, so I've got no problem in single digits jumping in, backing Boston. Scotty Wetzel stepping up here, joining us. He'll be taking over at the top of the hour at in-game live primetime. And Scotty, so far it's working. I said, give me a single digit. I'll take it in game. I got a single digit. What are you thinking?
Yeah, listen, Joe, we've made a lot of money, though, right? This postseason included betting on teams that don't have their best players. You know, last night with the Knicks, right, with 5 zillion guys out, what do? They annihilate Indiana. Milwaukee without the Greek Freak was really not Greek. And Damian Lillard beat those same Pacers. We've seen the Kawhi Leonard-less LA Clippers win a couple of games, even though they did get eliminated by Dallas. So I mean, it does go against the grain, but man, you know, no, you know, Donovan Mitchell, no Jared Allen, no Caris LeVert, no help seemingly, right? But here they are leading by three. You know, when I agree with you, I do think Boston's going to eventually win, and I like the 9.5 right now. It's a pretty good price, right? But when do you start, like, thinking, uh-oh, you know, if this gets midway to early third quarter, like maybe like 3-4 minutes in, you know, survive that initial surge to start the second half, and it's still this type of game? I'm a Celtic fan. I've seen this movie many, many times. They are more than capable of actually losing this game outright, Joe.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting, Scotty, because they are 8 of 17, so they're 47% from 3, you know, 6 of 14 for the Cavs. So the Cavs are hanging tough because they're matching them from the perimeter. They also have not made a free throw yet. That they even haven't attempted a free throw yet. So Boston is not, they're settling for everything outside. They're not even trying to get to the free throw line. That is an interesting tactic here if you are the Celtics, because I think you're right, right? The longer this game goes, the more the Cavs backups believe, don't they?
Yeah. Listen, that's Boston's game, though, right? I mean, they'll shoot 43s a game, you know, without any problem. So, you know, I don't know what the numbers actually are, but I'm guessing they're one of the less, however you want to describe it, free throw shooting teams in the NBA. I mean, just stand there and shoot threes. I've seen guys with basically uncontested layups give them up and dish it out for a three for Al Horford, you know, who clanks one.
Right.
So I'm not surprised about that. But like I said, you know, early, you know, 3-4 minutes into the third, if this doesn't change a little bit, that's when we'll really see that line come down. And then you'll be getting Boston, you know, minus 4.5, 5.5, 6.5, which isn't bad.
I'm laughing because Marcus Morris Sr. is now making threes for the Cavs. I didn't even know he was on this team.
I know,
much
right?
Less, in the game, and he's making it. Now he's pulling up and making jump shots. Like the whole thing is upside down. But I'm kind of with you, Scotty. Keep making shots and keep driving that number down lower for the Celtics, and you will be in right now, Scotty. 8.5 is alive and well there for the Celtics in game. What did you think about the game tonight here, the all-important Game 5? How were you leaning with Dallas and OKC?
Yeah, it's a good game, right? Good series. Kind of like a forgotten series, right? Yeah, we're talking Boston, and then we got the Knicks, obviously, big, and Denver down 2-0. It's like, oh, by the way, you got OKC and Dallas. And OKC happens to be the number one seed, yet it's the forgotten series. I'm going to go conservative here, and really my prop play is stronger than my gameplay, but I'm going to go under. I do like the under 211. It's been 3-1 under this series. This number has come down a little bit, but Mavs strong under plays, you know, 45-22 under, including 18-7 their last 25 games. OKC 9-5 under their last 14 at home. This is a pivotal game five, right? Series tied 2-2. So, you know, you'd think that they would take the possessions a little more seriously. So I like the under. And then I really love over 5.5 assists Kyrie Irving. Little juice, minus 140. But for whatever reason, he's not scoring in this series, Joe, but he is dishing the ball. Last three games, 9 assists, 7 assists, 11 assists. So you want to give me 5.5 with a guy who's been averaging 9 assists his last three games? You know, I'll lay the extra juice on that. Absolutely. And that's actually down from 6.5 that it was in game number 4. And yet he, you know, went way over that and they lowered it. So love the over 5.5 assists for Kyrie Irving.
I'm with you. He's even though he hasn't had the points, he's been the facilitator, which is just important for this Dallas team to make sure that everyone else gets involved. So that should be a fantastic second half of this game. But 46-43 right now, 5 minutes ago before the break, 8.5s. And look at the total here, too, Scotty, in this Cavs game. 218.5 right now in game. It closed at what, 205?
Yeah, 206 maybe it went
when
up.
When do we hammer it the other way?
Yeah, it's amazing, Joe. The boys in Vegas, they just never get this right. We said this 1,000 times. When these star players are out, scoring does not go down. It goes up. The bench guys can score. We're seeing that now again. They can't play any defense, so the other team continues to score, but they can score. You know, but they think, oh, you know, the top three scorers are out, so, you know, Cleveland's going to get 80 points. No, that's not how it works. Not in the NBA anyway. College, maybe. High school. NBA, all those guys can score. So, love the over now.
And
like
I love
you said,
it because
it's up to 213.
It's hysterical, right? It's because do you think any of the Cavs were like, well, if we just grind this out and shoot a bunch of jump shots, we'll have a guy. I mean, they know they got a bomb away and that's it. If they have a good night, all of a sudden it's 3-2 and we're heading to a game 6 back to the Cavs, which is head scratching here, Scotty, to say the least. Unbelievable opportunity presenting themselves though, Scotty. Top of the hour, we'll have you covered. Major League Baseball, everything going on, WNBA, NBA. Scotty, enjoy the games here tonight,
my man.
You and I, we'll see you again on Sunday for another In-Game Live episode. Until then, we'll be back to close it out. Game time decisions on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. And what a night it is going to be already. The excitement levels and the opportunities to jump in are ready to roll here as a 48-45 Cavs lead right now with 4 minutes to go in the first half. And I will remind those that are just joining us, the Cavs were a 16-point dog when this game started. The total hovered around 205. The Cavs are now an 8-point dog here as the Celtics have certainly given them every opportunity to stay in this game with Marcus Morris Sr., 14 points right now. Garland has got 8. Mobley has got 8. And, of course, Max Strus is finally hitting some shots. He's got 9 to pace the Cavs. Derek White leading all scorers for the Celtics, by the way. 15 points is what we have there. The Lakers, we are learning here, have secured permission on a head coaching search here. Several assistants and head coaches and such with New Orleans, Denver, Boston, Sam Cassell, Minnesota. So the net is wide that the Lakers are going to throw out here to find their next scapegoat. It'll be interesting to see where that head coaching search eventually lands, but I'm sure LeBron will pick the right guy. Don't have no fear, Laker fans. I'm sure LeBron, your general manager there, will absolutely figure out what's best for the long-term future of the Lakers. We also have a game coming up here tonight, second game we talked about, Dallas and OKC. It feels like it's going to be a back and forth kind of game. Final bucket wins. So that should be a great night of basketball, not to mention WNBA off and running here in just a couple of minutes. So we have got you covered here on the Sports Grid Network. And Scotty Wetzel will be back here with In-Game Live primetime in a minute, though, but we've got the Mets out in front of the Phillies right now, top of the fifth inning. They're up 2-1. They've gotten to Ranger Suarez here a couple of times, so we'll see if they can hold on to that lead. The Red Sox are on the board in the third inning, 1-0 over the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Yanks have jumped out to a 1-0 lead here as they got a couple of hits. Aaron Judge with a absolute bomb in that first inning to take the lead here, his 11th of the season. Verdugo has a hit already. 1-0, no, top of the second inning in that one. Stroman taking on Lopez. So as you can tell, we've got still plenty of action all night, including the Cubs and Braves. And the Cubs will not be shut out tonight. They, in fact, have already scored three runs on Charlie Morton. It is a 3-0 Cubs lead here in the bottom of the second inning. The Cubs have not scored a run against the Braves yet in this series. That ended rather quickly here in the early part against Charlie Morton there. You do have also the Dodgers and the Giants coming up tonight, late night. That'll be your late game. Dodgers with a bullpen game. Logan Webb on the mound for the Giants. You can still get the Dodgers at a really good price if you think it doesn't make a difference who's on the mound for the Giants or who's pitching for the Dodgers, since the Giants don't really have an awful lot of success at the plate against anybody. But there is an opportunity a little bit late night with that game, Dodgers and the Giants. And don't forget NHL playoff hockey coming up here tonight, where the Colorado Avalanche, with their season hanging in the balance, have got to go on the road and win one to get it back to Colorado for a game six. They're down 3-1. Can they go on the road and win tonight? That is the big question. They're plus money. That's a lot of firepower on the Colorado team. Can they put it together and beat Ottinger here tonight and get it done and bring it back to Colorado? One game at a time. But like we said, there is plenty of opportunities on this card here tonight to make some money and cash a few tickets. Celtics, 2 minutes left to go here in the first. By the way, 51-48. They've done a pretty good job of trying to take the lead. And will they have the lead at the break? Keep an eye on that line. The guys on In-Game Live Primetime next. We'll have you covered all night long. Game time decisions. We'll be back tomorrow. Good luck tonight. We'll talk again soon.